This is true. This is true. Just a quick note that this service is being recorded. Our prelude this morning is Prelude 2 by Gershwin and will be formed by Carlos Moser. Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prayer Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is the Reverend Matt Aspen, and I have the pleasure of serving this community, this fiercely lay-led and very strong community, as minister. We welcome all of you to our service, especially those of you who are searching for a spiritual home. Many of us were once, too, seeking for something larger than ourselves to which we could belong, a sense of rootedness to hold us as we create meaning together. We do that well here, though not perfectly. In this congregation, we strive not for perfection, but for authenticity and connection. Whether it's your first time with us or your 100th time, or your 12,000th, we hope that you'll find here questions that stretch you, people to befriend you, and values that challenge you to join us in loving boldly, living justly, and welcoming openly. We have a few announcements. This next Sunday, we will be welcoming Mark Richards from the Wisconsin UU State Action Network. You may have seen that acronym WUSON, who was here yesterday helping Molly Plunkett and Aaron and a few others with Get Out the Vote postcard mailings and phone outreach. Our democracy is in jeopardy. They are doing very important work, and I encourage you to attend next week and also find ways that you can help. Speaking of help, we are struggling mightily to find candidates for our open admin position. If you have anyone in your network that you think would serve us well in that role, please let me know or connect me with them. Please consider having some of your art in our meeting room. You'll notice that our current art installation is a minimalist view. We went from beauty to minimalism. Could be your own, a family member's, anything from your personal connection. Our walls are bare and we could use that help. And finally, I'd like to call up Disa, who has a quick announcement as well.
Circle dinners are starting up again. The purpose of these dinners is to get to know other Prairie friends and members in an informal, relaxed atmosphere in each other's homes. There are about 6 to 10 members in each group, and they meet for about 8 months during 1 year. A sign-up sheet is in the foyer, or contact me or somebody else in the membership committee for more information. Thanks.
Thank you, Disa. Our chalice lighting today is titled A Spark of Hope, and it will be read by Mary Mullen.
Well, unfortunately, Rebecca Strom is not here to read it, so I'm taking her place. If ever there were a time for a candle in the darkness, this would be it. Using a spark of hope, kindle the flame of love, ignite the light of peace, and feed the flame of justice.
Our opening music today is hymn number 315 in the Gray Hymnal, This Old World, accompanied by Carlos. And the Gray Hymnals are under the seats, and you're invited to stand as you are willing and able to help us sing this song. Surprised, I'd never heard that before. There's some really insightful words in this hymnal. Yeah, it's time for our story for all ages. The story this week is entitled The Big Umbrella by Amy June Bates and will be read by our DRE Alice Mant. We welcome adults as well as kids to come forward and get a good view of the pictures while we listen to our story, and after the story we will sing our youth out with the lyrics that are in your order of service. So come on up. Young. It's a little bit of a maze. You may have to labyrinth your way around today. I think I see a frog coming forward. Hop on up here, everybody.
All right, the book is called The Big Umbrella by Amy June Bates. By the front door, there's an umbrella. It is big. It is a big, friendly umbrella. It likes to help. It likes to spread its arms wide. It loves to give shelter. It loves to gather people in. It doesn't matter how tall you are. Or hairy, or plaid. It doesn't matter how many legs you have. Some people worry that there won't be enough room under the big umbrella. But the amazing thing is, there is. There is always room. The end.
All right, let's sing our youth out. Very much looking forward to hearing our presentation today to see what is going to be presented by part of the group that has been reviewing the Widening the Circle of Concern report for the last few years. Our service today will be led by Katrina Thompson and Paigeen Small and perhaps with some other helpers. And one thing that story just reminded me of, the umbrella story, I was asked to set up the sanctuary today in a circle, and this is not a circular room. And as I started to do that, it just wasn't working. And I was like, well, I've got to leave room on the edge for like be able to get out and all that kind of stuff. And I just couldn't make it work. And then it occurred to me, widen the circle. So we've got those against the wall. Now the way is in the front, and all of a sudden everything fits. So there's a good metaphor there. So I welcome you to enjoy today's presentation.
Thank you, Reverend Matt. Good morning, everyone. My name is Katrina Thompson. My pronouns are they, them. Beginning in January 2021, at the invitation of Prairie's then board president, Rachel Long, a group of us came together every few weeks to discuss the Unitarian Universalist Association's Widening the Circle of Concern report and accompanying study guide. The group included Catherine Liu, Mary Mullen, Ann Pryor, Carolyn Schupel, Paigeen Small, Rebecca Strom, and myself. A group of Prairie members and friends of diverse ages, backgrounds, and life experiences who shared a commitment to figuring out how we can make Prairie a more inclusive and welcoming space for all. This work is important to me, not only because I am a queer woman who uses they, them pronouns and have a child of color, but also because I have friends who are queer, people of color, disabled, or various combinations of those identity categories, and I would like to be able to invite them to Prairie and know that they will have good experiences here. Today, our Widening the Circle of Concern group wants to share some of what we learned with you, challenge you to think about how each of us has learning to do in this area, and invite you to share your ideas and struggles as we work together to widen Prairie's circle of concern. The UUA report that we read was completed in February 2020 and published in June 2020. Written by the Association's Commission on Institutional Change, it reports on its audit of power structures and systemic discrimination within the association. Though systemic racism is a major focus of the report, our group focused on understanding the intersecting ways in which we might be more inclusive of all people, including those who may be marginalized in ways invisible to us, such as gender or sexual identity, ethnic background, class, or disability. Although our group learned a great deal from the report and came up with many ideas about how we could help make Prairie a more welcoming and inclusive community, it's too much to share with you in just one service. Over the next few months, we will share several lay-led services on different themes we discussed, using avatars from the report. During its research, the commission issued calls for testimony, held focus groups, conducted surveys, and conducted individual interviews with many UUs of color and other marginalized identities about their experiences. To consolidate their findings, they report composite narratives that represent common experiences of those who took part in their research in the form of fictionalized avatars. Today we will present you with one avatar, ask you to discuss it in small groups, and then come back together to discuss it in a larger group. Before we turn to the avatar, we'll now pass out a worksheet that we'd like you to take a few minutes to fill out. You don't have to turn it in or show it to anyone else, but we'll ask you to bring your results to your discussion of the avatar. The worksheet has two pages. Please fill out just the chart on the first side that says the map of my identity or something like that. And you can take the other side home with you for homework. If you don't have a pen or pencil, there should be one in the pocket of the back of your seat. Evelyn? You'll see that in a little while. I'll explain more. For now, just we're going to give you about 3 minutes to fill out this map of your own identities. Mary, one more is needed over there. I see some hands up. Thank you, Patty. Please take about 3 minutes to fill this out. Rachel, you have 30 more seconds. All right, you can set that aside for now. If you didn't finish, you can take it home for homework. As I mentioned, there's more questions on the other side that we would like you to consider for homework, and we might come back to in one of our next services. As our second activity, we will display the avatar on the screen. Renee, if you could get that up. Thanks. So an avatar, Evelyn asked, is basically, I'm going off script here, but is like a fictionalized depiction of someone that represents a composite of a bunch of different people that the UUA did research with in this case. So this, I'll wait till this comes. You don't need to try to read this yet. We're going to read it out loud to you, but then we'll leave it on the screen for you to look at. Sorry. As our second activity, we're displaying the avatar on the screen. This avatar has been named Mallory Ramesh. She is a lay leader of color, specifically a queer 35-year-old board member of Indian ancestry. And Mary has found volunteers who will read parts of this out loud for us.
So we should all get in a line so we should read it, easily. So it's me and Johanna and Margaret and Barb Park and Disa and Paula and Nancy. We're a composite group. I'll start reading. I joined my local UU church after meeting some UUs at a Black Lives Matter rally after a local unarmed black man was killed. The UUs I met were members of a church in a nearby city, so I did some online research and picked my home church because they had information about becoming a welcoming congregation on their website.
After a couple of months of attending service and a book club, the minister asked me to join the board. I thought this was kind of rushed. At the book club, I'd noticed that whenever any question about people of color came up, I was the one everyone turned to and looked at. I'm Indian. It was funny considering that my suggestion that we add pronouns to our name tags was dismissed by the woman heading the LGBTQ council, even though I am also queer.
I thought I could do some good as a board member, so I agreed. Despite reluctance by some established church leaders, we participated in the white supremacy teach-in, though even then our involvement was limited to a single service and reflection. At the following board meeting, I inquired about how we planned to implement the recommendations from the teach-in, adopting the eighth principle and doing a church-wide racism audit.
Our outgoing settled minister shut down the conversation and suggested it would be more appropriate to bring the issue to our interim minister. So when I did that at a following meeting, the interim minister said she wanted to wait until she'd gotten to know the congregation. The next month, our interim said again that she wanted more time.
At the following meeting, the issue was pushed to the end of the agenda. And when another issue turned into a long discussion, the majority of the board members decided it was too late to discuss anything else and voted to table the meeting. Leading up to the next meeting, I wrote two emails to our board secretary asking for the issue to be placed on the meeting agenda. Both emails were ignored before they finally responded to the third.
At the meeting, I decided to bring up my concerns with how the recommendations had been handled, especially considering that the adoption of a practice regarding environmental justice had passed easily and with no similar delays. The board secretary, a white woman, immediately centered herself and her own discomfort, framing the situation as an attack on herself by me. The issue was left unresolved at the end of the meeting. It was extremely uncomfortable for me.
During this period, my relationship with board members in question soured, and several church members engaged in a whisper campaign against me, seemingly targeting my social justice views, with one member joking that I had issued a fatwa against mentioning U.S. presidents in sermons after I related complaints about our Independence Day reflection. Unwilling to encounter this on Sunday mornings, I stopped attending. Though I finished my board term, I missed meetings, I dropped out of the book club, and no longer attend anything at the congregation.
Thank you to our volunteers. Now that you've read Mallory's narrative or heard Mallory's narrative, we'd like you to break into small groups of about 5 or 6 people to discuss questions that are on a second handout we'll pass out right now. So ideally, if you could, depending where you're sitting, if you can just turn around and talk to the people behind you, but if there's no one behind you, then feel free to get up and move around to find a group of 5 or 6. And folks on Zoom, Rachel is going to assist you with getting into breakout rooms and sharing the questions with you. All right, it looks like folks have found their group. So if you need to refer back to the avatar, it will stay on the screen while you're talking. And I'm going to set a 10-minute timer.
Thank you.
You have about one more minute. I've heard a request for more time, so we're going to give you 5 extra minutes. This is the final minute. All right, time's up. Thank you, everyone. If you could please come back to the larger group. Pagin is going to lead us in a whole group discussion for about 10 minutes.
But I can still invite people to come up.
Do you have that script about coming up and whatnot? Maybe right here, if you're in the room.
Okay, this is the time where we have our general discussion after the main presentation, and this is generally a fairly open forum, but we wanted to center it around some of the discussion questions we had given you, because I know I sat in a discussion group and we had some really good conversation, but I would love to hear, and I'm sure other people would love to hear about what other people were talking about so that we can learn and hear together. So we're going to, if you're in the room and feel comfortable, you can come up to the podium so that those on Zoom can see you. If you're not able to do that, that is fine. Please raise your hand and somebody will bring a microphone to you. I'd like to go through the discussion questions and just ask different groups to kind of share out some of what their conversation was around these. So the first question was, what is your initial response to the avatar? Which character or characters did you empathize with most? And if there were characters that you were having difficulty empathizing with, what were your barriers?
I just found it interesting that more than one person in our group could relate both to the member of the board who shut down Mallory and saw her bringing up the issue again as a personal attack, and also with Mallory, who had been shunted aside and her concerns not heard. So there was empathy on both sides. And we had more discussion about that than simplifying it.
Does anyone want to share about your personal or your group's discussion about your initial response or the empathy for the various characters in this avatar?
I just wanted to say is that I think sometimes what happens in discussions is that there's an agenda and a format, and all I can say is you may just have to throw the agenda and the format out, and if something rises, say in a board meeting, if that's the most important thing, you just stop everything else, because most everything can wait in a discussion to another time. And if there's a person or an issue, I think it needs to be dealt with. And I think sometimes we follow the letter of the agenda or the letter of the program. Maybe sometimes we have to just let it go and just go in another direction. So I think for people to be heard, we have to do that.
Thank you. The second question was thinking about a time you felt unheard and what made you feel that way. Can anyone come up and or raise your hand and share about a time you felt unheard and what made you feel that way?
So I guess I'd say, most of the time I feel like I'm pretty heard, but a specific sort of series of instances I thought of where there was this period when I was a teenager, I don't remember exactly how old, and I was kind of going through some difficulties, and I tried to talk to my dad about it, and my dad wasn't like, oh, you know, no, don't talk about that or something, but sort of the conversation just ended up like sliding off of what I wanted to talk about. And I was actually thinking, like, if, you know, I don't think my dad sort of consciously did that, but if you could actually consciously do that, it would be like a really useful skill to just like sort of avoid things you don't want to talk about without being really upfront about it. But anyhow, yeah, probably my dad was sort of a little uncomfortable with some of the things I wanted to talk about, and so we just kind of ended up not really talking about them.
It makes me think of that gif of Homer Simpson like easing back into the bushes, just kind of like sliding away. I'm sorry you had that experience. Does anyone else want to share about feeling unheard and how that made them feel or what made them feel that way? Oh, and I should add too, if you would just share your name, and then if you're comfortable, share your pronouns, because not everybody knows everybody here.
Ann Pryor, she, her. Our group didn't talk about this, but I've had a series for years of experiences where I'll be in a group, I'll say something, 10 minutes later someone will say, oh, someone said that, and then repeat what it is that I said. And I'm like, it was me, it was, give me credit, it was me. But for some reason, I don't get the credit.
Thank you for sharing that.
I was in a group with three women and one man, and the one man said he didn't think he had ever had the experience of being unheard. And everybody knows Rick, and he's listened to, and that's good. But I said, I thought I remembered as a young professional woman, or in teaching and starting a number of careers, feeling unheard. And I think it could have been a mix of dynamics that were entering into it, my own lack of confidence, but sometimes also generally as, I think, as a woman in the earlier part of my life, not being given as much credence as the men in the group.
It is. I appreciate that relation to your identity, and as you filled out that worksheet earlier, think about how your various identities are kind of impacting you as we have these discussions. Did you want to add something? Yeah.
Well, in our group, two of us talked about being women in a group of men at work, and in both cases, the woman's point of view was just not allowed. My experience was at the Public Service Commission. I had previously worked at the Department of Employment Relations, where I was in an all-women's work group. And when we had a meeting, the secretaries and everybody, the bosses and, you know, us other peons, we all just sat in a circle and we discussed whatever the agenda items were. When I got to the Public Service Commission, I had an immediate boss who was a man, and his boss, the big boss, was a man also. And at our meetings, my immediate boss would just repeat what the upper boss had told him, and there was no discussion whatsoever. It was just pass it on. And at one time, they decided they would have a, I didn't tell this in my group, but I will now, they were going to have some training for, the idea was we need some training in our work group or in our in the Public Service Commission. And I was kind of delegated to go around and get ideas from other employees. And one of the men said, I'm not going to stick my neck out. I'm not going to make any suggestions because it'll just get shut down. So it wasn't only me who was being shut down, it was all the other people at work as well.
Thank you. I'm going to move on to the next question. I don't know how we're doing on time. Till five up. Okay. and then if there's any comments in the Zoom too, please let me know. The flip to that question is about a time you've been heard and what made you feel that way. And then the other thing too is we talk about maybe you know being unheard related to your identity. Are there times that you've helped somebody else be heard because you could see that they were having some sort of struggle with being heard? So a time you've either felt heard or helped somebody else feel heard.
Johanna Hatch, she, her, hers. I think for me, being heard means being believed. And so that was one of the things for me of like the times I have been felt heard is when I've raised a concern and people have believed me and not tried to minimize it, fix it, or make excuses. Those things can all come later for problem solving, but in the moment to believe what someone is telling you and honor that as their experience, and then move on to solutions.
Thank you. Any other comments on being heard, Patty?
Patty Stockdale, she, her. I think I've been just thinking about Prairie. Sometimes I feel like our processes are kind of too stark, and it's not always inclusive. So, but I wanted to compliment Chris, because I thought this summer when we were planning the fall frolic or the fall fair, it was a pretty long planning process. It took all summer, but really it allowed for so many people to participate in it. So we met weekly, people could come. Important, the primary committees were invited and different people from those committees could come. And so I just enjoyed that process of being allowed to provide input and being heard. And I think we did a really good job, so.
All right. Oh, come on up.
I'm Gary Gates, and one of the issues that came up at our discussion, one of my favorite sayings is, your strength is your weakness. Whatever your strength is, you overuse it, and it becomes a problem. And what came up was that there's a lot of longtime members who are very close. And because they're so close, new members don't feel involved, that they're members. You know, all these other people are so close to each other, we're out of it. I didn't have that trouble. I felt very close right away, particularly when I was asked to be board president in a year and a half. But I think it's a real, very great problem when you try to break into a group that's close, it's hard. And there are a lot of people in Prairie that are close. So that is the weakness as well as the strength.
So I'm hearing some comments that kind of go along with the next question, really the next two questions, and maybe we kind of combine those together for some responses, which are, what are the formal and informal structures you see that are maintaining the status quo in our community? And then how do we encourage practices towards diversity, equity, and inclusion in the work of our groups and our governance at Prairie? And really sort of, where do we go from here? What are our next steps? Because our widening the circle discussions was really just an initial, let's have this conversation, but then let's, you know, proceed to taking action to think about how we grow as a community.
This kind of came up in our group discussion, but really was came in my head, Gary, when you said our strength is our weakness. Because I took that, before you explained it, I took it in a different direction in my mind. And it connects to this because I think a lot of times at Prairie, we're intellectual, right? We take pride in how smart we are and how we can understand things intellectually. But I think what we sometimes lack is the ability to take things, to feel weak, to feel like we don't understand, to feel vulnerable, and to admit that we can't understand someone else's perspective. So I think our strength really should be the ability to appear weak, to appear as if we don't actually get it. because we have to understand that we might not actually get it before we can take it here and truly, truly change this community and the bigger world.
Looks like we have a comment from Zoom. If you can take the microphone over. Thank you.
Hi. This is Rachel, but I'm speaking for Chris Unger, who put a comment into Zoom. He said, I've certainly had times where I've not been heard, but as a white male, it wasn't really related to my identity. Certainly, I've seen all this, people not heard due to their identity, so I agree with the comments. I have an offspring who is very sensitive to this topic. They used your worksheet in grad school and was really happy when they saw it again just now. The other thing I've learned related to the current speaker at that time, if you are strong, such as intellectual or hard worker, you judge others by your strength, like labeling them stupid or lazy if they're having difficulty. I really appreciate that comment.
Okay. We've got time for one more comment, if anyone has a final thought they want to share. Okay, I'm going to share a final thought then. sorry. when I come to Prairie, I love the discussions, but I'm the type of person who often hasn't thought, like I need more time to think about it. And so usually my car ride home or when I get back home to my family is when like my spouse and I like sort of like do almost a debrief and we kind of continue the discussion. So I encourage you to continue this discussion at home or with your Prairie friends and to take that worksheet and to kind of continue thinking through that and just continue this conversation throughout, you know, your day and your week.
I also wanted to add that if you have further thoughts or questions that arise as you're thinking about this, if you would like to share them with any of us in the Widening the Circle group, me or Peggy, Mary, Ann Pryor, and then we'll try to think about those as we're planning our next couple of services.
Sincere thanks to that group for the work that you've been doing for a long time. And we'll continue to do. I think this is the work of our time, and it is crucial. We are sharing our offering this quarter with Porchlight's DIGS program, which provides eviction prevention counseling and financial assistance to households facing eviction. In 2021, DIGS counseled 1,007 households and gave financial assistance to 660 households in danger of eviction. And our offertory is Indian Summer by Victor Herbert, performed by Carlos. Thank you. Thank you. Our closing words today are entitled "We Have a Calling in This World" by Jean M. Rickard and will be read by Mary Mullen.
I guess I should add that my pronouns are she and her. We have a calling in this world. We are called to honor diversity, to respect differences with dignity, and to challenge those that would forbid it. We are a people of a wide path. Let us be wide in affection and go our way in peace. Amen.
And our closing music can be found in the Gray Hymnal, number 323, "Break Not the Circle," and will be accompanied by Carlos. At this time, we will be stopping the recording. Because as a caring community, we now take time to briefly